Yes, you're listening to Law and Gospel on this Insight Wednesday, 10-11-17, October the 11th in the year of our Lord, 2017. And one of the things we're going to be looking at again, and I've been doing this for about 3 years in sermons, how many parts of the Bible appear to contradict Lutheran theology. And I believe that until people have a proper understanding of Lutheran theology, they really cannot figure out what the Bible is saying. We're going to be taking a look. The Apostle Paul, we talked about on Monday, was saying that he is content in all things. Well, how can that be? He's not anxious for anything. Well, we explain that, and if you forget about it, you can go to the archives and listen to the Monday's broadcast. But this one, we're going to be taking a look at another portion of Paul out of the book of Philippians. If I asked you, in regard to righteousness under the law, are you blameless? I don't think there would be anybody in Christianity who would say yes. And yet that's exactly what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 6. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. How do we understand that? He's talking about before his conversion. He's not talking about that we're blameless after we're saved because God gives us his robe of righteousness. No, he's talking about that he was blameless before the road to Damascus experience. Now, I believe a lot of Christians, including Lutherans, would not agree with that in regard to their own life. But I believe that many of them do think that they're blameless in the same way that Paul did. So we have to really understand, what does it mean to say that under the law I am blameless? One of the distinctions between law and gospel I love using, those under the law have a different point of view than those in the gospel. For example, when I do a Bible study, I might have two columns, and the left side is law, the right side is gospel. But what I mean on the left side is not just obedience to the law, but this assumption of every religion in the world that what we do is going to make a difference as to whether we go to heaven or hell, or whatever future they have in their particular religion. See, that's what the 500th anniversary of the Reformation is all about. Some of you may watch NCIS. This is this kind of detective program. And last night's issue had a very interesting section where one of the detectives was talking about that this woman that they thought had been dead was now alive, and that she was teaching in a Lutheran parochial school. And they were even mentioning this is the 500th anniversary. Now, they said of the Protestant Reformation. Well, I guess you could think of it as Protestant. That's how it started, but particularly Lutheran. And the fact that you've got just a typical program mentioning that, that's something. But if you were to ask the people on that program, do you think you're blameless under the law? They would probably say no. So how do we understand what Paul is saying so it doesn't become a contradiction of Lutheran theology? Because we not only confess that we are not blameless under the law, we also have a confession at the beginning of many services that we're poor, miserable sinners deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. And that's as Christians. The way you overcome apparent contradictions in the Bible There are a number of ways. Perhaps the English isn't a proper translation. Perhaps you're unaware of the culture. Or my favorite way is look at the context of the passage. What is Paul talking about that under the law he was blameless? And we're going to find that the term under the law doesn't always mean under the point of view of being absolutely perfect in order to get to heaven. Here, under the law has a different understanding than most people would even be thinking about. And the way you figure that out is you look at the context. The context is really, really critical. What Paul is saying before he says, under the law, blameless, and this is chapter 3 of Philippians, verse 4. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Ooh. Did you hear that phrase, in the flesh? What's the difference there? In the flesh is looking at your own works. And that's why I believe there are many people who think they are blameless under the law. But we have to understand, what does it mean under the law? Well, Paul goes ahead and explains that he has more reason for confidence in the works of his flesh than others have. And here he goes to explain it. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness, under the law, blameless. Now we begin to understand the context of what he means by under the law. Circumcision was a part of God's law. Well, he was circumcised. The people of Israel were the chosen people. He not only was of the people of Israel, but of the tribe of Benjamin and a Hebrew of Hebrews. People really looked up to Pharisees and scribes because they appeared hardly ever to sin. And was he zealous in regard to his understanding about God? He sure was. He was a persecutor of the church because he believed the church was contrary to the will of God. And therefore, when he says, as to righteousness, under the law, I was blameless. What he's talking about is there are three kinds of laws in the Old Testament. There's moral law, which never changes. It's always wrong to murder. It's always wrong to steal. It's always wrong to commit adultery. Those things haven't changed. But then there is what is referred to as ceremonial laws and civil laws. We Christians are no longer bound to the civil or ceremonial laws of the Old Testament. The civil laws are the kind of governmental laws. For example, if a woman is caught in adultery, stone her. We don't do that anymore. But among Israel, among that nation, that was part of the civil law. Ceremonial laws were no longer under either. For example, the Sabbath, from a ceremonial point of view, was always on the seventh day, Saturday. We're no longer bound to the ceremonial laws. I can show you that even the Pharisees had that view, that they were blameless in regard to the ceremonial laws. Remember that in Luke, where the Pharisee, Jesus talking about in a parable, thank God I'm not like that tax collector over there because I fast, I tithe. You hear what he's pointing out to? He doesn't say, I believe in Jesus as the Messiah. No, they never say that, the unbelievers. they're always pointing to the ceremonial laws. And I do believe that a number of Christians and even Lutherans think that under the law, they're blameless in this sense, and they could be correct. For example, what are our ceremonies in the Christian church? Well, to attend church, and people do that on a regular basis, to go to Bible study, to send our kids to Sunday school or parochial school, to tell others about Jesus, to pray. So somebody can say, like obviously the Pharisees did, you know, I haven't murdered anybody. I haven't committed adultery. I haven't stolen. Until they read the Sermon on the Mount. And you find out, let's just take the one on murder. From Jesus' point of view, murder also is committed when you have a bad thought about someone. Or you say a bad word against them. By thought, word, or deed, we sin. But we all... Many Christians are probably blameless in regard to external obedience to the law. These are people of integrity. You may have a shop owner, and maybe he sells meat. Well, he uses accurate scales, and he's very fair with his people. And if something is wrong with the meat, you bring it back. He'll refund your money or give you different meat. Guess what? He's come to be known as a man of integrity, somebody you can trust. And under the law, under the guidelines of how to run a meat shop, he's blameless. I remember when I was working on the Chrysler assembly line. You could see some people, if the foreman wasn't around, were pretty slow in getting things to the line, and sometimes... I even saw a couple of occasions when someone would put a bolt or something into the line, break the line, it stopped, and guess what? Everybody had to wait until it was fixed. But there were a lot of people who were there doing their job properly. So under the law, they were blameless. How does Paul, therefore, in Philippians, and that's what we're looking at, chapter 3, what does he say about all this law over which he was blameless? Listen to verse 7. Whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. How do you understand that? You see, a lot of people brag about how good they are. One of the reasons we won't permit people who belong to the Elks and some of these other animal lodges is because of their religious thinking that is contrary to Christianity. Go to an Elks funeral, and you will find out that they believe this person is going to heaven because he was such a good man, and they can list one thing after another. That's also true in the Jehovah's Witness religion. Totally contrary to Christianity. Because I always make a point at a sermon for a funeral that the person not only has fallen short of the glory of God, but in his thoughts, his words, and his deeds, he has never fulfilled the law perfectly. Then why is he going to heaven? The reason he counts all this as a loss for Christ is because in Christianity we come to understand that it's really all about Jesus Christ and what he does for us. Oh yes, you can outwardly obey the law, but if you're really honest and listen to the Sermon on the Mount, for example, you find out that you continue to sin in thought, word, and deed. So you do not deserve eternal salvation. But that's the reason for which Christ came, is to give to us eternal salvation. He did something that none of us can do. He actually, under the moral law, was blameless. In everything he did, he had proper motivation. That's not something we have at all. No matter how mature a Christian you become. And the reason for that is because we still have the old Adam, which means every work we ever do has an element of self-interest in it. And why does he count all of his outward obedience to the ceremonial law, where he was blameless, as loss for the sake of Christ? He explains it in verse 8, because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. You see, you cannot brag about your works and brag about Jesus at the same time. About the closest you can come to it, and I just talked to someone recently. They're a lay person, and they were talking to individuals whose relative had committed suicide, and they were just beside themselves. And even the police regarded what he said to them as really quite interesting, because it changed their attitude. It wasn't that they weren't sad anymore. Sure, they were sad, but they had come to understand how God was working in this situation. And he told me, I didn't think I had that ability at all to talk to people and help them out. And I said to him, no, you don't have that ability. But there's some promises in the Bible that God will bring all things to your remembrance. He'll give you the words to say. And therefore, I see it as God using you to bring comfort to these people. And part of the reason is because he's a frequent attender at church and has learned a lot about Jesus Christ. He may not remember what the sermon was about 2 weeks ago, but your soul, your understanding of Christ grows as you continue to attend church and Bible study, and it's kind of just in your mind. And when he brought it out to these people who were suffering, he was very helpful. Paul says, and this is verse 9, probably the most important verse, because it helps us understand what he meant by under the law he was blameless. He says, when he receives Christ and is found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. This is the huge difference between the only two religions in the world, Christianity and everything else. Only in Christianity does your own righteousness not count at all, but rather the righteousness that you receive through faith in Christ. And what does faith in Christ mean? It doesn't mean that, oh, you believe he existed and that he did miracles, he died on the cross, he rose from the dead. No, that's not faith in Christ. Faith in Christ means you believe something, and the object of faith is always a promise. So what Paul is saying here, when he says, I believe in Jesus Christ, he believes that, yes, Jesus Christ died on the cross, but he died for me. Yes, he rose from the dead, but he rose for my justification. This is the essence of the Christian faith. And it's called the gospel. And the gospel are the many promises of comfort given to you because of the work of Jesus Christ. And in Christ, you discover that your own righteousness that comes from the law is pitiful. in comparison to the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Now, Paul makes very clear that he looks forward to attaining the resurrection from the dead, and says in verse 12, not that I've already attained this, or am already perfect. You know, there are a lot of people in Romans 7, where Paul talks about the things I want to do, I'm unable to do, and the things I want to stop from doing, I'm always doing. There are a lot of theologians who say that's Paul talking before his conversion. No. Philippians makes it very clear. Verse 12, chapter 3, that he hasn't attained this perfection. Paul recognizes that he's 100% sinner, while at the same time being 100% righteous. And why is he anxious to press on? This is very good. Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Well, when did that happen? Soon after the road to Damascus experience with Paul, he was baptized. And in that baptism, he was adopted by God. He was made part of the family of God. And he goes on, verse 13, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You see, we Christians will always, to the end of our time, have this struggle between the old man and the new man. And therefore, that's why Christians really are different. A lot of people won't do outwardly wrong because they're afraid of the consequences. Christians are motivated not to do outwardly wrong because of our love for Jesus Christ. The more you hear how much Jesus has done for you, the more you will recognize that your own righteousness falls far short of gaining, meriting, or earning salvation. So, the point I want to make, this is not a contradiction at all in the Bible against Lutheran theology, because many of us have an outward righteousness where we are blameless. But just think of that murder in Las Vegas. Part of the problem they're having in trying to figure out why he did what he did, and we're going to talk more about this tomorrow with Wes Reimnitz, is he doesn't appear to have any negative consequences like being himself in jail or doing bad acts or speaking on the internet against certain people or just angry about something. And it really is confusing individuals because it flies in the face against everything they have learned about people who try to murder others, whether by gunfire, whether by a truck, whether by a bomb, etc. Well, we're going to talk more about that tomorrow. I'm just making the point that you could say that this mass murderer could have been considered by others as blameless under the law. He wasn't disobeying the law. But one can now see that that means nothing if one does not have faith in Jesus Christ. It should not surprise you he never attended church, or if he did, rarely. Tomorrow we'll be talking more about this, but I just wanted to point out another apparent phrase in the Bible, under the law, blameless, that doesn't contradict Lutheran theology because he's talking about under the ceremonial law. And a lot of us can be considered as blameless in following outwardly various items. But all of that is rubbish in comparison to what is needed in order to be saved by Jesus Christ. So that's the point we want to make today. I tell you, for 3 years now, I've been taking a look at texts and finding apparent contradictions with Lutheran theology in almost every one of them every Sunday. But there are only apparent contradictions. There never is a true contradiction, because once you look at the context, the original language, or the culture of the day, that contradiction is corrected. I'm Tom Baker. Till tomorrow, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.